Hi, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Get Into It with Gila. I'm Gila Glassberg, your host, registered dietitian and intuitive eating counselor. And today I have on Julie and Ari Breslauer. I got it right?
Yeah, good
That right?
job.
Okay, thanks. Okay, so Julie and Ari, I would like you guys to introduce yourselves. Tell us where you live, what do you do? And just because of my screen, I'm just going to start with you, Julie.
Sure. So we live in New York. Sorry, what was the other question?
What do you do?
Oh, what do we do? We don't work in content creation. We both
Okay.
work in healthcare,
Okay.
which is always a surprise to people
You work
because
together?
no, we don't work together.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, people are always
Okay.
like surprised that we don't actually do content creation full time.
Yeah, you are a content creator, you know? Anyone is a content creator, even if it's not your full-time job. And Ari, what about you? Where do you live? What do you
I live in the same place as Julie in New York.
do?
We're married.
Right, yeah.
I'm also, yeah, Julie mentioned we're both in healthcare. Yep.
Okay, cool. Okay, so tell me a little bit about your Instagram, the two kosher foodies. And is it more than the Instagram? Like, how did it get started? What's your vision for it? Yeah, just walk me through it.
It started, I mean, it started just like organically. Like we've been foodies forever. I mean, definitely since we've been married for almost 5 years now. And we've just been like the point of contact for our friends for a long time. Like, where should we get food? What should we, where should we eat? So it just kind of started, I think, organically. And then I had this idea, like I don't know, one day I was just like, we should have an Instagram page. Like, we should actually make this like a real thing that we post like our favorite spots. So, that's really how it started. I don't know if you have any other ideas, Ari.
I mean, we just love food. I think that's something that, like you mentioned about food bonds, Julie and I bonded over food often in times that we were dating and all through our marriage. And so I think we love food so much that we were like, why don't we talk about it more? Why don't we bring it to everyone else? And it's, you know, we have, I think we have a unique position regarding food and how we relate to it and how we, you know, I don't know. I think personally, I speak with my emotions through food sometimes. You know, you'll see like when I really love food, and you'll also see when I really don't like food. So the old emotions on the sleeve kind of quote, I think fits well with me in regards to food. So you'll know exactly where I stand with the food that I'm eating.
Got it.
Have you seen
And
the videos? His
yeah,
iconic face laugh. I'm
I think I've seen it.
oh yeah,
I'm
there
gonna watch more
it
tonight. But
is.
Julie, I think we were like DMing once, and did you say that, like, tell me if it's okay to share this, but did you say you didn't grow up religious and like that was also where it started? Like you kind of had like a different point of reference when it came to food because you didn't keep
For
kosher.
sure. Definitely. Yeah. Ari and I both didn't grow up religious. I mean, Ari can share his story afterwards, but yeah, I didn't grow up religious. I was working in the non-kosher food business for a couple of years, which I feel like I was very passionate about. So I feel like that did plant some seeds in terms of realizing that I am passionate about the restaurant business. It's just not a sustainable business to work in.
Right.
As a mom or like even from Jew, so I
Right.
obviously didn't stay there, but it definitely was a passion of mine at the time.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And Ari, you didn't grow up religious either.
Nope. I had some experience in the tray food industry as well. Some as a cook, like busser, you know, I had various connections to it. And you know, traveled the world before I became Froom, and tried a lot of different cuisines throughout all the lands that are out there. And I was like, you know, I look for that authentic taste that I remember from not only the places that I've been internationally, but also even, you know, local taste. You know, like, can I get a really good barbecue? Like, can we get something good, like barbecued beef with like good sauce and, you know, fall off the bone kind of stuff. Can we get that kind of relative like food in the kosher world? And I'm, you know, I think we've been surprised lately. I think we've been really seeing really authentic flavors coming through kosher restaurants. And so that's really nice to you know, think back, oh yeah, I remember how that treif tasted. but now it's kosher. Now we're elevating that food into a different place, and I think it's really cool.
That is really cool. But was it hard for you guys to become religious, like because of the kosher food? Like, was that something that was like hard to give up?
I don't know. Not so much for me, I guess, because I started out as a vegetarian. I was a vegetarian in middle school. And
Okay.
then that continued on until I started to like get more into Judaism, started to going to Shabbos meals. I think at some point I gave up the vegetarian thing, went to like pescatarian. Then I went to Neve for seminary, and dinner every night was chicken on the bone. So it was chicken on the bone or nothing. So that's really when I kind of threw in the towel as far as the whole vegetarian thing. But up until that point, like as I was learning and growing and trying to take on kosher, like I hadn't had like a pepperoni pizza in already like so many years that I didn't really think about it. If anything, my only tie of it even now is some of the like places that look very cool but have like the vegan texture that we just like don't hold by, but it looks very cool, like in the city, some of the unique restaurants that they have.
You prefer vegetarian?
I think so, yeah. I think overall.
I don't
I'm
know.
slowly
I
like
think
are converting me, but
it's so
you
hard for me
have.
to understand that as someone who grew up from, it's like everything, you can't really be vegetarian. I mean, you could be, but it's just so
It
hard.
could be
It's
super
really
hard.
hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think slowly but steadily, Julie has become more of a carnivore to the point where she does ask for red meat on occasions now. So I'm very, very proud.
Okay.
I'm very proud of that.
So
And then
you were never a vegetarian, Ari.
no,
No. Okay.
no. Yeah. I saw vegetables. I mean, I ate
Yeah.
them, but
Yeah.
I ate them also, but so for me, when I was in yeshiva, when I became frum and I made like tshuva, and I went to Maayanot Yeshiva, Chabad Baal Tshuva Yeshiva in Israel. So when I was in yeshiva, the first couple months, I kept having relapse dreams that I was eating treif. Like I would have dreams that I'm eating a bacon cheeseburger, and I would wake up thinking that I was like, oh my God, sorry Hashem, like I really didn't, and then I would realize it's a dream. So
Wow.
that's how I think connected I was to like non-kosher food before I became frum, and even when I became frum. So I think, I think the hulk of kosher still means a lot to us. To Julie and I, we don't know exactly what, no one knows what it means. Like, why do we do this? But we just do it. We like Hashem said do it, so we do it.
Got it.
And
Yeah,
we figure it out.
I did have those Bala Tshuva dreams too, but they were always about Shabbos, not
That's
kosher.
so interesting. I never heard that, and I know a lot of Bali too. But actually, Ari, my brother-in-law became also went to Maayanot. He became frum through Chabad in Brandeis, and then he went
Oh,
to
cool.
Maayanot. Yeah.
What years was he at Maayanot? Do you know?
I don't know
Any ideas?
which years, but he's like he just turned 40.
Oh, cool. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His
What's his
name
name?
is Daniel Lorch. You know him?
Daniel, no, doesn't
He's
sound
from
familiar. We're
Brazil.
from Brazil.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so interesting. I did know a couple of Brazilians when I was in yeshiva. I don't remember their names though. I might notice his face, but yeah, that's so awesome.
Yeah, I'll ask him
That's
if he
great.
remembers you.
Yeah,
Yeah, that's really cool.
I was there 2013 to 2014 ish. So,
No, I
yeah,
think he was there before
2013.
then. I think he was there before
Okay.
then. Yeah.
Okay.
That is really funny. Okay, so what do you guys do? Do you go to restaurants and you just try the food? Do you collaborate with the restaurants? Like what exactly do you guys do?
Yeah, so our main shtick is doing restaurant reviews. That's really where we found is like our niche, and specifically like restaurant reviews where we show our face and we're talking. We've noticed that when we were like trying to figure out if this is a good Instagram page to start out with, first I looked to see if there were any husband and wives doing it, and there are a few. Like I'm not going to say there aren't, but then we were looking to see like who's doing restaurant reviews and showing their face and really talking into the camera, and they're really aren't like there really are a handful maybe, but overall like I feel like what we're doing is very unique, where Ari really is telling viewers like how he feels about the food. He's showing emotion and also featuring the food.
Right. You're saying other people were just are just not showing their face, they're just like showing the food.
More people like yeah, I feel like most kosher food pages it's just the food, which is great too. I don't want to page But I feel like there's something about it that people like, that they connect, especially I feel like Ari is usually the star of the show. So connecting with like what Ari has to say about the food, I think it adds an extra layer to the whole like experience of the real.
I mean, I think what we say is that I'm the beauty and she's the brains. I mean, she's the beauty and the brains, but I'm just the beauty.
Yeah.
I don't edit the videos.
That's
She doesn't
really
love me. Yeah.
cute. Do you guys cook? Is it just the critiquing the food, or do you guys cook? You cook?
Mostly critiquing, yeah.
Yeah.
Occasionally we'll post like food that we make at home, but
But do you cook at home like together?
We do. Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah, even tonight we had
We did that.
salmon and peanut noodle. What do you call it, Julie? Tell her what you. I don't know what you call your
We
creation.
make noodles, yeah, and salmon. But generally speaking, we're not big on cooking. We're more into
Critiquing.
eating out. I think that's also part of how Two Kosher Foodies came together, is that we are usually like, where should we go for dinner?
So,
That's
do the
definitely.
restaurants contact you to review the food?
Yeah, so over the course, I mean, we've had this page up now since June, I think, of last year. So yeah, over the course of this last year, sometimes restaurants contact us, sometimes we contact them, a little bit of both. Sometimes we don't contact them at all, and we just show up and just, try it out ourselves. Like a just we pay for the food ourselves and we make the review. It's a little bit of all three, I guess.
Is it hard to be like honest about the food if they're paying you to review it?
I think so. I think we've definitely run into some areas where we like feel very conflicted. We don't want to be rude. We want to be gracious guests, and but we, feel like we should be honest with everyone. But how much
I could see that
honesty
being
can
hard.
you give?
Yeah, I watched some of the food bloggers, and like I remember one of them was saying, like, she's like, I know, she's like, I get so many DMs that like I say everything's amazing, so like nobody could trust me. But she's like, I only say what's amazing, like, I don't like say what's bad.
Right.
We
Like
really
if
try to
it's
do that
actually
well.
amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
If it's actually
Always.
amazing, like it's, we try to make it authentic. So we do that as well. There are places that we've gone that we haven't posted because we just know that, we didn't like it. It wasn't good food, so we didn't post it.
Right. So you
Yeah,
take the
really.
video while you're eating and then you post it later. It's not like in real time.
Not in real time,
No,
never.
never real time. No.
Right.
We try to Anonymity is really important to us too. Like we try to stay as anonymous as we can. I mean, now it's getting to the point where I get noticed in like shul and at the barber shop. There's like it's wild. Like people are like, are you two kosher foodies? I'm like, yeah, it's me. Yeah.
That's so cute. You don't
So
like that?
I mean, I like I mean, some exposure is good. I don't mind like people coming up to me and having a conversation about food. I like that. I just think that we always, worry about like, I'm sure you're a public figure also, so you have some weird people out there maybe, Occasional
Yeah.
weirdos, so.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's also like good for your page, I guess. Like if people recognize you, they might like tell another restaurant.
Yeah. Like I
I
dominate
mean,
like TKF and I'm like, okay, cool. Like I don't know. I don't feel like we're not I don't feel like we're celebrities, but I think like, it's just it is kind of cool to get recognized, but also, I don't know. What do you think, Julie?
I mean, I think overall like most people are harmless. I think we just like just take into consideration just general like internet safety, especially being parents. Like we don't post our kids on the internet. Like in general terms, we just try to protect our whole family when it comes to having a public page and not exploiting like our kids or anything like that.
So, will you guys travel to go to a restaurant, or you're only like local in the five town somewhere where you live in New York?
I try to travel. It's a little hard
Yeah.
working full time and mom life,
What
but
if
we
you
do
guys like
try
go
to
on
get out.
vacation or something? Like if you go somewhere where there's like a kosher food spot.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, we hope
Yeah. Would you
to
do that?
travel to, yeah, we hope so. It's just
That's
been, I
cool.
feel like it's been hectic lately. Like we haven't been able to get out, but definitely at some point we want to go to Miami, really review all the
Lakewood. Oh,
By the way,
Lakewood.
Montreal
Oh,
has
look
really good kosher food.
up.
Montreal,
Oh, cool. Yeah.
California.
Yeah, who would have thought, right? Like we went in the summer and it was like this food is so good. It's like better than New
Oh,
York.
so cool.
Yeah, it's over there.
Poutine, right? The
Not
gravy with
that. That
fries.
wasn't good.
Oh,
That
no.
was really
That wasn't
weird.
good.
The one that we
Oh,
had, we were like, "Kid, okay, no way, never trying this again." But I will tell
no.
you, if you guys go, let me know. We got something that this is like so fun that I could like talk about this because nobody else in my life cares. We got a jalapeno that was like breaded and fried with salmon in the inside.
Yeah.
Was
Oh,
so good.
interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Wow. It's a pretty big
It
jalapeno. Or maybe
was.
there's a little bit of like salmon in there.
No, it was
Or
like,
is it pretty
some of
stuffed?
them are like really big.
Yeah, sure.
It was
I
like
think
that.
so. Yeah. Wow,
Yeah.
that's incredible. Spicy and
Incredible.
protein. That's
Spicy
great.
and yeah, it
Yeah.
was really good. So what's like what do you what's like the goal of your page?
I think definitely to elevate like Jewish businesses. You know, I think that's what I was
Yeah.
gonna say, just about like critiquing also businesses. Like it's sticky because it's mostly like Jewish business owners, and
Right.
you know, we want to see Jewish businesses thrive and definitely not speak any like lashon hara about them. So I think that's like definitely part of it. It's just like, yeah, elevating Jewish businesses, bringing more attention to them, even if it's like a someone who's not Jewish or someone who is Jewish but doesn't keep kosher. Maybe they like don't even know that there are cool
Right.
restaurants to go to that are amazing. Like even if they don't intend on keeping kosher like all the time.
Right.
Right.
Like even if they
Yeah.
just go that one time, it's like they
Yeah.
have a kosher meal. Yeah.
I also like see it. This might be like people might think this is a stretch, but I really do see it as like our work and like the war effort, like also like amplifying Jewish businesses, because more money that Jewish business owners make, the more money they can send to Israel. So like,
Right.
so I kind of think about it that way. It's just a hobby in terms of like, I don't know, our own personal goals. I feel like we just enjoy it, and I personally love like editing. Like that's really
Editing
my thing.
videos.
Editing videos. Yeah, I did a minor in undergrad in documentary studies, so that's really where I learned
Oh,
how
that's so cool.
to videos. Yeah,
Oh, I'm
but
like
it's
terrible at that, so you
a
can teach me. It's like that's what I find is really hard about Instagram is like I watch these people like making these like amazing videos and I'm like, how do they know how to do that? Like they weren't like, I mean, you were trained, but a lot of people are
right.
not trained to make videos, you know, or edits or whatever.
Yeah, or people just have the eye for it. Like, it's hard for me to teach someone because I just
Right. You just
almost
know.
like
You
innate
have
at this point.
right,
Yeah.
right. So I want to ask you, maybe it's different in every restaurant, but like, how does it compare to like kosher versus not kosher? A little bit something.
I mean, I think food-wise, I feel like there's so many good options, especially in Five Towns. Like, we're really spoiled.
Yeah.
So I don't really think that I think about like non-kosher food necessarily. Like when we're out, I'm just like grateful that we have all these amazing restaurants like right in our area. I think that a big thing for me, especially coming from the restaurant business, is service and like just overall like hospitality and the way unfortunately some restaurants just like conduct themselves is just not according to like the industry standard. So it's a little bit like painful sometimes. Like I'll vent to Ari, like they're not doing like what they're supposed to be doing. Like, but you know, I don't know. That's something I think that where kosher restaurants maybe can improve on is like really looking into like what are the industry standards for restaurants.
But the food you would say is like pretty comparable.
I feel like the food is comparable. Yeah, I think the thing that riles me up more is just like the service sometimes. Knowing like I was trained at one point on like how to provide quality service, so that irks me when we don't receive good service.
Right, for sure. I know. I always tell my husband that like if we go, well, I've had this before where I walked into a restaurant and walked out just because I didn't like the person who seated us. I know that sounds crazy, but like I'm really sensitive and like I like going out to eat and I like sitting and enjoying myself. And I feel like if there's like a negative vibe from the waiter, it's like totally ruins my experience. So like, and I haven't really had that so much. I really like the restaurants here in the Five Towns and
Yeah.
I've never been to a non-kosher restaurant, but I'm saying like I could totally see how like if you're trained like professionally, like in the industry and then you see it in maybe like a little bit different setting, then you could, it's like glaring the difference.
For sure.
Yeah.
know, Ari, if you feel that way.
No, I feel similar. Yeah, I think you're right. I think service sometimes can be floppy, and I think kosher restaurants, I guess they, as a conglomerate, if you're going to a pizza place, they have like pizza and fries and sushi. And if you're going to a meat restaurant, there's sushi. And if you're going to like a takeout place, there's sushi. And if you're going to a Chinese restaurant, there's sushi.
Is it not like that
Like,
in other restaurants? Like in
no,
Definitely
no,
not. No? Why
no.
not?
Chinese restaurant sells Chinese food. The Japanese restaurant sells sushi. The pizza place sells pizza. Like you would never walk into an Italian pizza restaurant and then say, "Hey, I want to, like, give me a salmon avocado." They'll look at you like you're crazy. They'll be like, "Fugazi, what's the matter with you? Huh? Like, get out of here." So, like, I just think,
But it's
I don't know.
hard.
I think that they do the best they can with their marketing and their tactics and what they do. I just, I've seen different things in the food industry too, and I wish there was some outliers maybe that just tried to focus on like one or two or three things, instead of doing everything,
Why do you think kosher restaurants do that? That's so interesting.
I mean, I feel like it's hard to survive as a kosher restaurant, so I feel like they're trying to like maximize their, I don't know, menu,
Profits.
their real estate, their profits. Like,
Yeah, I could agree. I agree with you. Yeah.
that's probably
Right.
part
It's
of it.
interesting though. Like, if let's say, like, I'm assuming like the non-kosher market knows like the industry better than us Jews. I'm assuming so. Like, if that is the case, then the like you said, you walk into a pizza store, they sell pizza. You walk into a Chinese restaurant, they sell Chinese food. Maybe like sticking to like your niche is better for business. You know what I'm saying? Like, or maybe not. Maybe that's just what we're used to as Jews. You walk into a pizza store, you could get a salad and sushi also. You know.
Right. As a kosher consumer, you're used to something like that. And maybe, like, I imagine that they'll lift, the financial burden of having like a sushi person there making, rolls. The profit must be maximized. It must be a huge profit. But like, then you look at like the tray pizza places, let's say, for example, that don't have any sushi there. Some of them have been in bu business like 40 years. Like a lot of them have been like that staple pizza shop. Like, I even know I drove by it like a month or two ago. I grew up in the Bronx, and I drove by this pizza place that my parents always took me to, and it's still there. Like, I'm 40 now. Like, that I went there as a kid. That's been over 30 years that the same pizza place has been in business. There is a way to be profitable. I mean, I understand Chol Yisrael, and I understand Pas Yisrael, and and the Mishkiach, and the Vod is a whole nother story we won't get into now. But there still has to be a way to maybe turn a profit with just specializing. Like, do what you do really, really well and stick to it. But I don't know.
I think
That's
it's
just my
hard
opinion.
because
I'm not a.
it's so much easier to be a safe restaurant. Like, you could be open every day of the year. You never have to close if you don't want to.
Yeah,
You
it's
open
true.
from like 9 a.m. to midnight, you know, if
Right.
that's really what you
Yeah.
want. Like,
Right.
so it's very
It's,
different.
yeah.
Very different.
It's
Yeah.
funny because I sometimes like will complain to my husband that let's say like I'm not a writer, but I like to write and I like to like read really like well-written books. And so I'm like, I don't like reading like certain Jewish books, not to put anyone else under the bus, but I'm just like, I went to college, like it's hard for me to read it if it's not like whatever. And he this is what he said, and I wonder what you guys think about this, but he said that like as Jews, we don't like focus so much on like that, like, I don't want to say this wrong, but like, yeah, we don't like we're like focused on our Judaism, we're focused like on our Torah, we're focused on like our Jewish lifestyle, so like so we're not like so professional in like our writing or in like our cooking or like our maximizing our profits. Like, we do our hishtadlus, like we do what we're meant to do, but like the kosher food scene is obviously not going to be the non-kosher food scene because that's not what we're trying to accomplish. You know, we're not trying to like indulge in gashmis so much, or we're not trying to like be the best, you know, kosher restaurant in the entire world, because yeah, we have to, you know, close on Shabbos, and we can't just like continue to work whenever we want, or you know, sell whatever food that we want. We have to like abide by the Torah, but like that's what we're all trying to do, you know, as people who keep
For
kosher.
sure. Yeah,
Yeah,
definitely.
that's totally true. And we say that about, some of the Jewish papers that we see. The literature is just not up to par, but like you said, like if I opened a Gemara and like one daf was like incorrect, like there was a mistake in there, that would be like tragic. I mean, you messed up a Gemara. Like, that's, you can't do that. You can't mess up the printing of a Gemara. Printing of a newspaper, anything other than the Torah is like just whatever flies. So I agree with what you're saying. But I wish, like, my dream, by the way, Julie, I think you agree with me. I wish that we could get a regular Hechscher kosher restaurant with, like, in the OU or in the VOD or something, that would get a Michelin star, or James Beard Award, Michelin star, sometimes there are a lot of food awards that kosher food just doesn't, is, I don't even think is looked at. And I think there are some really quality restaurants out there. And I just wish that we would have the opportunity to, like, have them recognized, have a really quality, like, 5-star service, 5-star food, really creative, something that's out of the box, and sometimes the Michelin, I don't know if you know about Michelin stars. Are you
I know
familiar?
from Chopped. I watch like every episode of Chopped.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. So that's where I started learning about it on Chopped and also Top Chef. But like they will award. It doesn't have to be fine dining cuisine. It could just be something as like a, like a fish and chips restaurant, but they just do it incredibly well and they do something different and it's just amazing. They will award stars for those people. So, I guess Michelin stars probably more fine in dining, but I don't know. I wish we could have like more of like pomp and circumstance in the kosher dining world. So,
Why do you wish that? Like, do you wish so that like Jews could be represented, or do you think that we should have a better chance because there really are such good restaurants?
I think I guess my desire for that is that we, like, if we did a kosher restaurant really well, I think non-kosher consumers would also patronize it. And I think that's where the meat and potatoes of a restaurant are. Like, you go to a restaurant in Queens or something, it's Jews. It's all poor observant Jews basically that are in that restaurant. And I think that if you had a restaurant so good that it had a Michelin star, you would attract Gentiles. You'd have like everyone out there, non-observant Jews, like everyone would come to that restaurant. And I don't know. I think it would be a
Yeah, like
breakthrough
the
to say,
Indian
like,
food
this is
place.
the only one.
What
What?
did you say? Indian food place in Connecticut.
Oh, that deserves a Michelin star.
Yeah.
I think it does.
I don't know about
There's this
that,
Indian place in
I've never been there. It sounds
oh my
good.
gosh, it's amazing. I mean, we salivate. We buy extra food to bring home and freeze. It's just so delicious. It's we Julie and I both love, and even our son, even our 2-year-old, loves flavor and spice. He asks for spicy mayo with the sushi. He like he wants flavor, and this Indian restaurant is just unbelievable. I mean, it just blows my mind. It blows my mind how good they are, and it's really authentic. It's in the VOD of Hartford, not Hartford.
Fairfield County,
Fairfield
right?
County, right, because it's in Stamford, Connecticut. It's just an amazing, delicious restaurant. I think, Julie, I think we should call up Michelin and tell them, get your
Sorry
stars
about
ready,
that, but
because.
it is nice to see that it's like a melting pot of all types of people that come and eat there.
Is it like authentic to Indian food, like
Very
non-kosher?
authentic.
Really?
Yeah,
Yeah.
it's
To
great.
try that. I think I heard.
The only thing is that I think in real Indian food they use yogurt like in a chicken dish. So the only downside is that it's all like tofu, not tofu, it's paneer, like the cheese that they use in their dishes.
Oh,
So it's
so
the
good.
same. But other than that, it's good.
I never been to
Yeah.
an Indian restaurant. I think I heard that there's one in Canada, in Toronto.
I think so.
Yeah, and I guess now Connecticut, so hopefully ever. And do you have family in Connecticut, or did you just go there to visit?
We
No, we
literally
really
go to Stanford for that restaurant. Like,
Okay.
no lies. We
Good to
literally
know.
drive 2 hours sometimes to get to that place to just eat there. It is literally that good. And I feel so bad for Asher last time we went, Julie. Ugh.
Yeah, it's okay. But anyway,
Yeah.
but the
Okay,
thing
and
that
then
I
I.
feel like I don't, I'm not even thinking Michelin star. The thing that I would love is like a middle tier kosher restaurant that's like not too like not like a takeout place, not super expensive, but has like high like good food, like a nice aesthetic, just a place to hang out, like maybe even like a bar, but not like a seedy bar, you know, like a
I felt
nice
like that
comfort.
at Streets when I went to Streets. That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, Streets kind of had that going for it.
Then it closed.
Yeah, we like Streets a lot.
Nowhere
That's a good point.
to like hang out in if you're like an observer. Like if you're observant and you just like want to hang out, it's not really like a thing to go to like a trace bar. But that's like a fun, non what your world, I feel like, is to meet up at a bar with your friends and not necessarily like, I'm not talking about like binge drinking. I'm just talking about like and getting a glass of wine. Like, if I were to really like do that, you
Well,
know,
you could do that at Doma, I guess, like in the front.
theoretically.
But that's too expensive. That's like way expensive.
Way expensive.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's like a thing in like the non-kosher world. It's like a not too expensive restaurant that you could just tell all your friends to come meet up at and like hang out and just get like guac and chips and wine and I don't know, have like a nice like girl night. Like,
Yeah. But kosher food is probably way more expensive than non-kosher food, right? Like even in like
I
restaurants
would
like
imagine
pizza,
so.
sushi, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, pricing wise, I don't know. I don't know necessarily. All right.
Yeah, no, not tray food is way cheaper. Yeah, there's no competition. It, you know,
The type of
the
restaurant
nature.
I'm describing, though, all right, I don't know if it would
What, Julie?
be the type of restaurant I'm describing, though, I feel like would have comparable pricing to like, I don't know, a middle tier restaurant in this area, like.
Like Cork and Slice, like they kind of do that because you, I think you could get one at Cork and Slice, but you're, are you saying even cheaper than that?
Probably cheaper than Cork and Slice.
Yeah. That's
Yeah.
a good idea, you guys. If you want to get started
We
on that.
Okay, great. We'll get started on it. We'll let you know how it
Okay.
goes. Yeah.
Yeah. The new restaurant
So
Capri is
funny.
really good. Did you try it?
Capri,
Which one?
we've been there. Yeah. Julie's been
I
there
really liked
twice. I've been
it.
there once. Yeah.
I liked
It's
it.
pretty funny.
Yeah. We live very close, so it's like easier than going to Cork and Slice. And
For
I
sure.
also just like love trying food and tasting food and talking about food and all things
For
food.
sure.
So it's like, yeah.
Definitely.
But what about, sorry, go ahead.
No, I just in terms of like our goals, like I heard this like concept. I don't know if you've like heard it as well in terms of like fixing the world with food. There's like what? All right.
No, I just laughed. I was like, oh,
Oh. No, this Robinson that I listened to, she was talking about how like the first like I mean I think there's like a sociological reason why we are kind of like have a complex relationship with food in this modern era. But she was talking about from more of like the spiritual side that she was saying the first like sin that humans committed had to do with food. And so now the last thing that we have to do in the days leading up to Mashiach is like fix that in this world and like our relationship with food and like not have an unhealthy relationship with food. And so I feel like that's also like a goal with Two Kosher Foodies is showing people that we do have, I think, a relatively healthy relationship with food. I think every millennial, especially every millennial woman, has had their fair share of, I don't know, just like some type of relationship
Complications,
with
yeah,
food.
complications with like body image,
Like
food, everything.
Teen Magazine and all the crash diets and everything. But I would say overall, Ari and I are like try to be pretty balanced. So it's like I hope like people watching see that we love food and enjoy food. And I hope that that's like fixing whatever we need to fix before
That's really,
Mashiach
I
comes.
love that because I always talk about how like food is like it obviously like food could just be food or we can like make a bracha and elevate it or like food is like how we bond, you know, like Pesach's coming up. Every holiday there's like a food surrounding the holiday, right? And like we bond with food and we share with food, like we give people food when they have a baby or when they're, God forbid, somebody dies, right? Like we use food to comfort people, to help people. It's just like a, I think it's like a beautiful thing, and it's sad that it's become so like demonized. I'm curious, like Julie or Ari, if you want to share, like in terms of like dieting, body image, all that stuff, would you say it's like better in the firm world, worse in the firm world? Like, you know what I mean? I've heard so many different things. I recently had three girls come who are single and they're Bali Tshuva, and they said that it's way worse in the firm world with dating because when you're non-firm, you meet a guy at a bar, you guys have chemistry, even if you're not like you're not necessarily so attracted to him or he's not so like so attracted to you, but you just like get along and then you go on a second date versus like with Shidduchim, it's like the first date is like you know everything already, so it's kind of just based off of like, you know, but then I've heard that it's like way worse in the non-Jewish world, that like that people only care about the way people look. Like I've heard so many different things.
Interesting. I don't know if it's better or worse or different. I feel like people maybe prioritize different things in the non-Jewish world, like wearing different stuff that's tight fitting, and I feel like the whole butt trend, like since the Kardashians came to be, is not really like a thing in the firm world. Like, I don't
No,
feel like people
definitely
want
not.
that. Like,
Right.
but I feel like in the non-Jewish world, people do want that. So
Right.
maybe it's like different body image issues that like primarily women deal with. I'm sure men are not immune to it, but
Right.
I think the majority are like women that deal with these things. I think the thing that I see the most is that I personally love like food. I love challah. I will eat at least two pieces of challah per like Shabbos meal. And I do see people that like just don't just like really avoid bread, avoid dessert, avoid like
Right.
everything but like protein and vegetables at like a Shabbos
Right.
meal. And I'm just like sad because I
Yeah.
love those things and I'm okay. Like I'm
Right.
I'm managing my weight and I still eat the foods that I love. So
Right.
I'm sad
Totally.
when I see like people that seem like they have their own
Restrict.
stuff to figure out.
Yeah, totally. I know. I one time was talking to one of my clients whose husband is a rabbi, and she's like, "I'm sorry to be religious about this, but like it says in the Torah, we're supposed to wash for bread. Like it can't be that bread is bad." I'm like, "I know. I totally know. You know, like it's we're supposed to have bread. We're supposed to have bread on Shabbos. We're supposed to wash. We're supposed to have meat. Like we're supposed to have, you know." Okay. And going back to the food and the kosher, whatever. But I have, like, again, I never eat non-kosher. Actually, one time when I was a kid, by mistake, I ate like non-kosher fries, and it was like a really big deal.
Oh man.
Actually, it's a really funny story. I was like really young; I must have been like 10, and I was in like a. I didn't grow up. I grew up in a really small town, so I went to like a non-religious camp. Like a lot of the religious kids went, and my mom was like, "Don't eat anything." We went to like Hershey Park or something. She's like, "Don't eat anything," and I'm like, "Okay, I won't eat anything." And my counselor was like, "You could get the fries at Burger King." I'm like, "Okay." She's like, "They're just potatoes." I'm like, "Yeah, I guess you're right." And then like on the bus ride home, one of my friends was like, "You are so dumb." And then my mom was like I'm sure she just felt really like bad and guilty, but it was like, and then I never did that again. But like people, this is what I've heard. What'd you
Those are probably
say?
some good fries. Burger King
They
has good
weren't even so
fries.
good. They weren't even so good. I
Oh,
remember thinking these are not so good.
well, that's funny.
But in terms of like quality, would you say that like kosher meat or like anything like that is better than non-kosher meat? Or because it's like, I don't know, don't they say it's like specialty food, like it's like more premium meat or no? Totally not.
I don't know. Ari would be the
Yeah,
brand.
I mean, so you know, part of the issue I think with let's go with kosher steaks is that some of the best parts of the cow we can't eat, so it really is limiting in that sense. But you know, like I think the quality of the meat is going to be great. You know, it's salted. It's you know, there's no blood. It's really like a clean cut of chicken or steak. But yeah, you know, I wish we could figure out some things halakhically to eat the really tasty parts of the cow. But you know, I think we do fine. I think we have other cuts too. We make things happen. You know, they have a kosher filet mignon, and we have, you know, flanken. We have ribs. You know, we have some tasty stuff out there, and I think there's some really, really great like pit masters that are doing really great things with meat. You know, I think Izzy's barbecue is amazing. I think I don't know. I don't know if I want to plug anyone else. Maybe you should just edit that one out because I don't want to. No, Izzy's has never invited us, and I haven't been there in a while. I almost went there today, actually. I was in Crown Heights. But there are a lot of good pit masters out there that are doing really well, and I think you know. So I think maybe it doesn't even depend on the quality of the meat. Maybe it depends on the quality of the chef. You know, how they prepare it and how tasty it's going to be. So
I thought you were
it's
going to talk
part of it.
about bacon, that you're waiting for Mashiach to come so that you can.
Oh well, yeah, that's a big one too. Yeah, there is no that's a really good point, Julie. There is no Gila. There is no replacement for pig bacon. Like I'm telling you, like there's just
Really,
no
the
replacement
bacon is
for it.
nothing. Nothing
The
compares.
fake it. So some of them are better than others, and I won't name names, but so I think some of them are closer to real bacon. But that's something that I really miss, and I cannot wait for Mashiach. I literally cannot wait until Mashiach comes in and says, "The pig is kosher. Enjoy it. I'm gonna have so much pig. I just can't wait. I'm gonna have it like roasting on an open fire. We're gonna belly bacon. It's gonna be amazing." But anyway, so That's something that, you know, we try in the kosher world to make it work. You know, we try to get this beef fry going, and you know, I've had lamb bacon before, I've had duck bacon, I've had a lot of different types of kosher bacon, and you know, it some of them come closer than others, but there's just no replacement for it. You can't get the similar taste and saltiness of it. So
Interesting. That's so
yeah.
interesting. And then in terms of the meat, the cow that we're not allowed to eat, which part is like really good? Like I thought we're only not allowed to eat that one part, like the Yidanasha, right? Like what else are we not
Yeah,
eating?
but there's it's the T-bone. It's like T-bone is the, I think, best part of a cow. So there's no kosher T-bones. I personally miss T-bones a lot. Like I had a T kosher Treif T-bones are delicious. And so yeah, it's not only that, I just Googled it. It's the sirloin, filet mignon, so an authentic filet mignon is not kosher. T-bone and porterhouse. Porterhouse also is a fantastic cut of the steak, a cut of the cow, and these are all things that we cannot eat.
Interesting. That's so, it's like, again, I never eat non-kosher except for those fries. I'm sure I ate
Yeah.
non-kosher when I was a kid, but like, so I don't like, I don't like, I really want to try KFC. Like it looks really good, but like all the other meats
Yeah.
I never even tasted, you know, like whatever. I never thought about it. So you guys are getting a lot of slack because you like both really love food and you're not eating treif. So that's a big deal.
Yeah, the real scar I think comes so somewhere in town. There's a Treif deli, and I'll you know, if I drive by it in the morning, they're frying up some bacon, you know, real bacon, and I smell it, and when I smell it, brings me back to having a tie. I've been eating kosher for 11 years now, and it still brings back that taiva to want to have, you know, pork bacon. But then I think the real scar is that I don't do that. You know, like I'm
Yeah.
observing the negative commandment of preventing, you know, not eating tray food. And yeah, it happens every so often where I get a whiff of something and I'm like, oh, that's good. You know, I remember how that tastes. But you know, stopping, obviously I don't do that. I've made a commitment to living my life as a Torah observant Jew. So here we are.
Wow.
I think also the only other thing that really can't be replicated is seafood.
I was gonna ask you
Yeah.
if you guys had like lobster, like, did you have everything?
I think I don't remember really having lobster, but definitely I loved fried clams. Fried clams were like so good.
So interesting.
My dad and I used to get them like whenever we were at like a pier somewhere, like that sold fried clams. What else? Shrimp. I liked shrimp in like a pasta dish. That was really good.
See,
Shrimp
like
and
Julie lost me. Like all the
broccoli.
stuff I don't miss. I don't miss any of
No.
this. Like,
Yeah.
nah. Crustaceans, not at all. No, scallops, eh. Lobster,
Yeah, I don't
eh. Crab, no.
really
No.
obsessed.
No.
But yeah, fried clams were like such a thing. Like if you go somewhere, I don't know,
Yeah, I
water,
find
on the
right.
water.
That's what I find hard, even though like I don't really have a little bit like when once like we like to travel and we like to try different types of foods. Not that we do it often, but it's like a dream of mine to be able to do that, like go to Italy, you know, do that type of stuff one day. So like for me, I feel like it's the convenience, like you know, you're at a pier and like what food are they serving? The food that's, you know, that they have around. So that's like you can't do that if you keep kosher. You can't the
Sure.
convenience, like you're at a ball game and they're serving hot dogs. Well, now they have kosher hot dogs, but I'm saying like wherever
Right.
you go to the mall, you can get whatever you want. You want ice cream, you get ice cream you want. And of course, it's fine. It's just like they could go anywhere. Like you could go anywhere if you're not keeping
Whole
kosher.
different world, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally different.
Yeah. Totally different world, and you know, unfortunately, some of the stuff in the mall, like the pretzel shops. I'm so happy. I think we have a kosher. I think in the American dream we have something close to that. But the smells of like that buttery hot, not the buttery hot pretzel is just amazing, and they taste really good. But you know, you're right. Like, and I think that's a struggle. I think it's a struggle. It's definitely a struggle for me. I'm not sure, Julie, if you'll agree that when we do go to places and we want to try like the flavors of the area, like you said, like clams on a pier. They collected those clams like that day. You know, it's
Right.
super fresh. It's really authentic.
Right.
And, you know, it's hard. You know, like we're not a kosher restaurant. We in a particular country or city, you can't really enjoy the local fare. And that's kind of a little bit of what I miss because, I mean, and that's just what Hashem wants because I think
Right.
Hashem wants
Right.
us to not be a part of other cultures. Like that's how
Right.
you immerse in another culture is by eating the
Right.
food of the land. And
True.
I think that's the whole purpose of kosher, like to
Right.
unite us as Yidden, but to
Right.
prevent us from also going to Gentiles and like saying, hey, like your food is delicious. Let's get
Right.
married, let's hang
Right.
out,
Yeah. No, it's true.
know?
That's what they say, breaking bread. When I was a student, when I was in school for nutrition, I had to take cooking classes. And my first year, I was the only from Jew. I don't know if anyone else was Jewish, but it was like the whole thing was like, okay, this station makes the pork and this station makes the chicken and the cooking temperatures and put the whatever thermometer in and how you cook vegetables and fry whatever. And then like we're all cooking together and then we're all sitting together and we're all eating together. I didn't eat it obviously. And we're taking notes on all the food and I was so depressing. I remember coming home so depressed. Like because I love that stuff. Like I love and but I like exactly what Hashem wanted me. I was just sitting there like eating my pretzels, you know, like he doesn't want me to like mingle and get like all enmeshed in their culture. It's just it's And it is true. That's probably what would have ha what could happen, you know? Like it's just so
For
easy to
sure.
break that
For sure.
barrier.
I don't know if I missed that. I mean, I guess we haven't really been in that situation yet. Like the only places we've gone since we got married were Florida, California, and Israel. So,
Right, and California also has really good food.
yeah.
Yeah, you
And
agree?
Connecticut. They do.
And
They
Connecticut, right?
have
And
good food.
Israel, yeah. I mean, Israel has really authentic food.
Of course.
You love the food there? Or
We
no?
love the food there. Yeah,
Love
so
the food, yeah. Yeah.
did you guys ever try the restaurant here Off the Diet slash Famous Pizza?
Yeah, we've gone there.
Yeah,
Okay,
we've been
we
there,
really
yeah.
like that. And Geffen, we
It's
really
pretty
like
good.
those. Geffen's good. Geffen?
We haven't gone to Geffen yet. I don't think we've ever had Geffen, Julie.
Falafel?
No, but my mom's gotten Geffen before.
Oh,
It's
really? Your
really
mom went?
good.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
That's really good. Can I ask you guys how did you meet before you were from? Did you meet? Like, how'd you guys meet?
We met on J Swipe.
J
So
Swipe.
cute.
Yeah.
That's so cute. And you guys were both from for a while.
Sort of. I mean, Ari longer than me, but I had just got back from seminary, so when we met.
That's so cute. It's
She
so
was single and ready to mingle.
natural. My sister met her husband on Saw You at Sinai.
Okay.
Oh,
Yeah.
cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
I always tell people they have to turn over every stone. Like,
Yeah.
don't
Yeah.
like knock
Sure.
any platform, any way of finding your soulmate.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Okay, this was really fun. Thank you guys for coming on. Is there anything else you wanted to share with the listeners?
No, but if you want TKF to come and try out your food, let us know. We're on Instagram and we're happy to connect with businesses that are looking to have us sample and try and make videos for them. So
Okay, awesome. I'll put
shameless
that in.
plug for us. Yeah.
No, I'm gonna put it in the show notes so that if
Okay, great.
anybody wants to contact
Thank you.
you, they could, of course. Okay, nice to meet you, Ari and
Yeah,
Jamie.
nice to meet you
And
too.
yeah, thank you both for coming on and have a great night.
You too.
You too. Good night. Thanks,
Bye.
Keila.
Sure.
Bye.